Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. We have a cloudy sky now and 56 degrees. For government shutdown, day 28, we have the story.
Local agencies ready to fill any food gap because of the federal government shutdown. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Construction is underway for a new KBI Regional Crime Center. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Hurricane Melissa continues to barrel toward Jamaica after strengthening to a Category 5 storm Monday. Fox Weather's Adam Klotz has the latest.
Major storm continuing to move its way across the Caribbean. This is going to be the strongest storm on record ever for Jamaica. Winds overnight up to 175 miles an hour, just barely moving at the north-northeast at 5 miles an hour. A slow-moving storm, obviously more dangerous. That means more time with the wind, more time with the rain. Flooding going to be a major concern. Getting over to Cuba, ultimately the Bahamas as well. Once it reacts with Jamaica, it does start to back down, but it stays a hurricane. It'll take a while to weaken. By the time you get into Wednesday evening, you are talking about winds down to 110 miles an hour, but it ultimately does head out to sea, so no risk here of any sort of interaction with the continental United States.
At least seven people in the Caribbean have reportedly been killed by this hurricane.
Republicans are hoping a push from a top union will help reopen the government.
The American Federation of Government Employees is calling on Congress to pass a stopgap measure that would reopen the government, with the president of the union representing over 800,000 federal employees saying, quote, "It's time to pass a clean, continuing resolution and end this shutdown today. No half measures, no gamesmanship." The Senate is expected to vote on the measure today that would extend government funding until mid to late November. It's unclear if enough Democrats will be swayed to reach the 60 votes needed to break the Senate filibuster. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Due to the government shutdown, SNAP benefits may not be renewed for November. Local organizations such as the Kansas Food Bank are gearing up to fill the gap. President Brian Walker says people don't need to feel bad about reaching out for help.
Different situations affect all of us differently, whether it's SNAP benefits or whether it's a natural disaster. At some point, everybody needs help somehow in their lives, and if this is your time, please feel free to give us a call.
Kansas Food Bank partners with several area pantries and churches to hand out food. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
The Kansas Bureau of Investigation has started construction on a new regional crime center and laboratory in Pittsburgh.
Crews began leveling and grading the ground last week. The building will house KBI agents, an evidence control center where regional law enforcement may submit and return evidence, a drug chemistry section, and a child victims unit. Construction is estimated to cost $40 million and will be provided by both state and federal funding. The building is expected to be completed by July. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
President Donald Trump stopped by Japan as part of his five-day trip to Asia. Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer reports.
President Trump met with the first woman to ever lead the nation, Sunaya Takaichi. The president has noted her close political ties to the country's former prime minister, Shinzo Abe. He became a very close Trump friend during his first term, something Takaichi thanked him for as the pair held their first meeting in Tokyo. President Trump said he is optimistic about the future of trade with Tokyo just before signing an agreement on rare earth minerals. Japan has floated that they intend to buy a fleet of American F-150 trucks. President Trump has long complained about the American vehicles being shut out of the market.
At a workshop meeting today, the Wichita City Council will look at water and sewer rates for the upcoming year. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News when the new water plant will be operational.
It's currently undergoing testing, but it will come online or fully operational and under the ownership of the city by the end of December. So everything is still on track. However, obviously, there was a delay because there were some technical issues that they had to work out.
Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Monday night football action last night for the Kansas City Chiefs, right here on KNSS, of course, and we'll have highlights and reaction coming up in sports.
Two high-profile Democrats not ruling out a presidential campaign in 2028. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News Time now, 7:08, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock, 55 degrees. A candidate in New Jersey's highly contested race for governor is given the green light to sue his opponent.
A state elections commission clears the way for Jack Cittarelli to sue Mikey Sherrill for defamation. Democrat Sherrill accused the Republican of financially benefiting from the opioid crisis because the publishing house he then owned printed a study that she says discounts their dangers. Sherrill claims the lawsuit is designed to muzzle her criticism. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Two high-profile Democrats are not ruling out a presidential campaign in 2028. Fox's Marianne Rafferty with more from Los Angeles.
California Governor Gavin Newsom not denying he'll run for president, saying this to hosts of CBS Sunday Morning when they pressed him on it.
Is it fair to say after the 2026 midterms, you're going to give it serious thought?
Yeah, I'd be lying otherwise. I'd just be lying, and I can't do that.
Now, Newsom saying he will let fate determine his political future once his term as California governor ends in January of 2027. And former Vice President Kamala Harris said during an interview with the BBC that she's not ruling out another run, even though she lost in 2024.
Meanwhile, President Donald Trump suggesting that Vice President J.D. Vance or Secretary of State Marco Rubio could run to succeed him after his second term ends.
Despite the end of the federal tax credit, the state of Illinois is beginning another round of EV rebates.
The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency now accepting applications for its fourth round of EV rebates. Applications that will be accepted through January or until the $14 million in appropriated state funds runs out. The state offering $2,000 rebates for new or used EVs, $1,500 for electric motorcycles. Low-income residents are eligible for up to $4,000 in EV rebates. Currently, there are about 160,000 registered EVs in the state, thanks in part to previous rebates. Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker has set a goal of having 1 million EVs on the roads by 2030. In Chicago, Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Traffic right now in the Wichita area. Well, the traffic volumes are getting heavier, and we're also starting to see some heavier rain on the traffic cameras out there, especially to the north and west right now. And so that's the area where we're just getting some rain. You're going to get some wet and slippery roadways over there as this storm kind of passes through the area. Just some showers, but yeah, it's dropping decent amounts of water on the roadways, especially north and west right now. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now the forecast with Storm Team 12 Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen. Good morning, Ross.
Well, good morning to you, Steve and Ted. We got a cold front coming through the area this morning, and that is stirring up another batch of rain showers that are working their way through the metro area. And I think our chance for rain today will extend all the way up until about 11 o'clock this morning. Some of the heavier showers that are out there right now are actually just to the west of Kingman and out by Pratt, and that's going to be coming this way. And rainfall totals may be up to a quarter of an inch. Not sure that we'll see too much more than that. Certainly won't be nearly the amounts that we got over the weekend. And, of course, there's the Kansas wind. You know, it's something that we're going to be dealing with the next 2 days. Probably a good thing that may keep the low profile, because we're looking at wind gusts up to about 40 miles an hour as we go through not just today, but also again tomorrow coming out of the north-northwest, and that is going to keep things on the cool side. We'll reach a high today of 55, which is essentially now on the temperature. Tonight, we clear out for a little while, the low near 40. Now, we do have some morning clouds coming up on Tuesday, but sun returns in the afternoon. Very windy on Wednesday, gusts up to around 40 or 45. Our high temperature 52. And then Thursday morning is when you want to watch out for some frost, because we're going to be starting out in the mid 30s. I don't think this is a hard freeze coming up, but frost is likely Thursday morning. And then we warm up to 58 then in the afternoon with some much calmer weather coming up for Thursday and Friday. Good timing there in terms of trick or treating later this week. A quick update on Hurricane Melissa. We are now just a few hours from it making landfall. It's about 55 miles south of the coast, And we've already had some winds reported gusting up to about 60 miles an hour at the Kingston International Airport there in Jamaica. And also another wind measurement now coming in, a gust of 54, and that was at Montego Bay, which is more on the west side of Jamaica. But it looks like it will make landfall as a Cat 5. Winds are at 175 miles an hour. And the barometric pressure, which is another way of how we measure the strength of these storms, now stronger than Katrina, so it looks like it will be in a top 10 strongest storms measured in the Atlantic Basin. And then it's going to make a beeline for the eastern coast of Cuba. That will happen later tonight, first thing tomorrow morning. And then as it continues farther north, it's encountering some stronger winds and cooler water, which will start a weakening trend. Right now in Wichita, we've got clouds and showers. It's 55 degrees. That's your Storm Team 12 forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen.
Ross, usually if a storm like that goes over land, does it lose some of its punch or does it gain power?
Yeah, usually once it interacts with land, once you subtract, there's three things that will weaken a hurricane. Any action interaction with land, and that's going to be happening as it hits Jamaica, of course. Cooler water and then stronger winds, you know, at about 10, 15,000 feet above the storm, that tends to rip it apart. So its interaction with land coming up, hitting Jamaica, will weaken it. And then the water up around the Bahamas and just north of there has already started cooling off. So it's going to start weakening. But boy, when you look at the satellite picture of this thing, that's just so symmetrical. And that's characteristic of these big, historic, very dangerous hurricanes.
All right. Thank you, sir. We will check with you tomorrow morning. Of course, that's the Storm Team 12 Chief Meteorologist Ross Jansen, who's Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS on this Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. So just a couple of days left until Halloween, Ted. Halloween's Friday this year. And we had a cloudy day across central Kansas Monday, Wichita's high temperature 59. I got out for a walk yesterday. It was very pleasant.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Very nice out for that.
It was overcast, but it was very nice.
Yeah. On this date in 1925, the temperature in Wichita fell to 19 degrees, and that is the earliest in the autumn a temperature in the teens has ever been recorded for the city of Wichita.
And 1 year ago today, it was 90 degrees, the latest in the year we've ever had 90.
Wow.
So this is kind of
it's a weird
pinpoint day. Yeah, you could go either way, man.
It's a weird date. Okay, on this date 60 years ago, 1965, the St. Louis Arch was completed.
An iconic.
Have you been up in it?
I have.
We were there, last summer with my family, and nobody wanted to go up in the thing, so we didn't go. I kind of did.
I'd say that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah,
I'll be with you. Let's go.
Something
go up.
But I couldn't get them to go to that. So anyway, I didn't want to go by myself. Bill Gates is 70 years old today.
He's very wealthy.
Microsoft founder. His home covers about 66,000 square feet, according to my notes here. All the floors are heated, including the driveway.
Oh, well,
swimming
fancy.
Pool has massive speakers in it, so you can hear your favorite music underwater. Guy's net worth is $106 billion, and he's the one who got a divorce, right? So his wife got half his property, and she's been giving it away just as fast as she can. And she still can't give it away. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. The former Mrs. Gates is just doing all she can to give that money away. She'll probably save back, a billion or two for herself in her old age, you know, so she doesn't have to rely totally.
Not worried about her financial security.
Yeah, I think she's going to do all right. Bill Gates, 70 years old today. All right, 7:16 now, Stephen 10 in the Morning here on KNSS. It is sports time once again with Ted Woodward. Monday Night Football, the Chiefs playing the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, last night, finishing up a three-game homestand at Arrowhead. The Chiefs and Washington going at it. Not a boffo first half. It was 7-7 at halftime. The Chiefs had two early interceptions. It kind of stymied things there. But Chiefs really got things cranked up in the second half. Of course, Mitch Holthus had the call, and it was right here on 98.7 and 1330 last night on KNSS.
Mahomes looks over to the sideline. He's got Kareem Hunt as his running back. No score in this game. 5:55 to go, first half. Kareem Hunt plows into the line. Touchdown, Kansas City! Kareem Hunt, money in short yardage as he gargles the sweet nectar of the end zone. And the Chiefs jump on top at 5:46 to go, second quarter.
There you go.
I thought Pacheco was their running back.
Well, he's doing some of it.
Kareem Hunt
pretty effectively last night.
He was
too,
good.
So he got two touchdowns. Of course, that was a first half touchdown. And then you also had the Chiefs defense. He got the shutout against the Raiders last week and didn't come far from a shutout last night.
Now it's third down, 11 for the Commanders at the 38 of Kansas City. 15 seconds to go in the third quarter. Now Chiefs are pressuring Mariota. He's sacked! And down he goes, Mike Dana with the sack. He had the interception to start the game. And now he sacks Mariota all the way back at midfield. A loss of 9.
Washington did not score in the second half. Final score, Chiefs 28, Washington 7. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
Yeah, it's great to play here at Arrowhead. I mean, our fans are unbelievable, and, you know, we appreciate that. Anyways, yeah, it was good. Good evening. Yeah, it was both ways. I mean, it was defense shut them out and did a nice job, and then offense was able to put some points on and score. Not good if you're a punter, but it's good otherwise, you know, for both sides.
And the Chiefs got a touchdown catch for Travis Kelce, the tight end, who ties Priest Holmes for the most touchdowns in Chiefs franchise history. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
I said it at the end of on the broadcast. I mean, he's just like the true Chiefs chief. I mean, he is the guy that's been here through the whole thing, been here with Coach Reid the entire time. And helped set the culture. You know, he helped set the culture of what it means and to play for Coach Reid and to play in Kansas City. And I was able to come in and have that guy to rely on. And so he's breaking all the records now. And he's all about the team. So I want to make sure he gets that. And hopefully we can get another football for him later in the season when he actually breaks the record.
Three-game winning streak for the Chiefs, now in the number 7 spot in the conference, having won 5 of their last 6. Last night into this morning, an instant classic, Game 3 of the World Series, the Dodgers and the Blue Jays.
A long night's journey into day. I'm Jared Max. Game 3 of the World Series, historic. It ended at 2:50 a.m. Eastern Time this morning in the bottom of the 18th inning at Dodger Stadium.
11:50 in Los Angeles. Coleman sends a fly ball to center field. Marsho's going back before the clock strikes midnight.
On Fox TV, Freddie Freeman, whose walk-off grand slam ended Game 1 of last year's World Series, sent Dodger Stadium into a frenzy when he ended Game 3 of this series with a walk-off home run to give the Dodgers a 6-5 victory over the Blue Jays and 2-1 lead in the best-of-7 series. The game lasted 6 hours 39 minutes, not as long as the 7 hours and 20 minutes the Dodgers needed to beat the Red Sox in Game 3 of the 2018 series, also 18 innings. These the longest in World Series history. No player had ever reached base in a playoff game more than 6 times before last night. Shohei Ohtani got to base 9 times in Game 3.
Once in forever, Shohei Ohtani, who will start Game 4 in 24 hours. He has tied Game 3 with his second home run of the night.
On Fox TV, World Series record tying 4 extra base hits for Ohtani. 2 home runs, 2 doubles. He walked in his final 5 times to bat. 4 intentional walks of one player, a postseason record. Ohtani will be the Dodgers starting pitcher tonight, Game 4. Shane Bieber starts for the Blue Jays, who will await MRI results on George Springer. He left last night's game early, discomfort in his side. I'm Jared Max.
All right, pretty good stuff there. Game 3 of the World Series, the classic last night. And let's go back to football. It was 30 years ago on this day, maybe one of the biggest K-State football clashes ever. Undefeated, 6th-ranked Kansas State. I'm sorry, KU was ranked undefeated, 6th-ranked. Visiting, going over to Manhattan to take on 14th-ranked Kansas State. A record crowd of 44,000 in Manhattan for that one. KU is one of the last 5 unbeaten teams in the nation. K-State won that game 41-7.
Wow.
Leaving both teams at 7-1. It was the first win for K-State over a top-10 team in a quarter century.
How about that?
Quite the matchup. Very anticipated, but blowout win for K-State. That was 30 years ago on this day. That's Sports with Steve and Ted. Sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumpkin Pumpkin Ale. WBC's most popular seasonal beer. It's made with actual pumpkin, served with a spiced rim. Yumpkin Pumpkin. It's now available at Wichita Brewing Company. It's pizza and beer made here. And sports brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center, a safe healing environment with caring employees that fully understand recovery from addiction. Bel Air Recovery Center, they improve the lives they touch.
722 now. Keep it here for a house call for health. Tips for safe trick-or-treating. And traffic and weather coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. 7:30 here on a Tuesday morning, 55 degrees. President Trump hopes to ink a trade agreement with China before ending his Asia trip.
A framework agreement would see China make a substantial purchase of soybeans and other agriculture products to prevent President Trump from imposing a 100% tariff increase on Chinese goods. President Trump meets with China's President Xi Jinping later this week in South Korea, following weeks of talks between U.S. and Chinese negotiators aimed at reaching agreements on tariff rates, rare earth minerals, and fentanyl.
I think we're going to have a successful transaction for both countries.
The president says he and Xi could also finalize a deal for TikTok to divest from its Chinese owner. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The president of the Kansas Senate, Ty Masterson of Andover, announcing yesterday that he has secured enough signatures to meet the two-thirds majority required under the Kansas Constitution to petition for a special session on redistricting and other time-sensitive issues. However, Senator Mark Schreiber, a Republican from Emporia, says he won't sign the petition.
We only redistrict to accommodate the changes from the census. It shouldn't be a political tool to advantage one party over another.
Two-thirds approval from the Kansas House of Representatives is still needed to convene the special session that, if approved, could take place early next month. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly has voiced her opposition to the redistricting.
The city of Wichita has received more than 100 applications to fill the city manager position, which opens as current city manager Bob Layton retires at the end of the year. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News.
We are going to have conversations about that this week. As you know, they closed the application process earlier this month. And they should be giving us a list of names to consider for in-person interviews.
Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning show here on KNSS.
The search continues for the missing crown jewels stolen from the Louvre Museum last week. Fox's Greg Palcott reporting from Paris.
Two of the four suspected thieves arrested over the weekend. They are being grilled, according to various reports. The two were known by police for past robberies. This one, authorities say, could have been commissioned. One suspect nabbed at the main Paris airport, ready to fly to Algeria. It's also reported $100 million worth of French crown jewels are still missing. The fear is the crooks will break up the jewels and sell them off. The hope is they see the value in them. Investigators are combing through 150 DNA samples, which played a key role in the recent arrests. This amid still growing questions about lax security at the museum. No museum video of the break-in. The culprits beat the alarms in just 7 minutes.
A Paris prosecutor said more information would be revealed once the suspect's custody period ends tomorrow night.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
It's a wet start to the day, and the rain will continue through late morning, then partly cloudy and windy this afternoon, a high of 55 with a northwest wind 20 to 30 and gusty. Winds continue through the night, overnight low 40, mostly cloudy turning partly cloudy, more wind on Wednesday, high only 52, mid-30s and frost on Thursday morning, then sunshine and 58 during the afternoon. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Now, light rain, fog, 55 degrees, north wind at 9 miles per hour. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:34 here on this Tuesday morning. And it's time to check in with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Good morning, sir.
Steve and Ted, good morning. Great to be with you.
We will give you a chance to comment on the most important news to hit Wichita in many, many years. And I know you what I'm talking about, don't you? You know, don't you?
Well, there's a few things that are going on that are pretty positive, and I'm pretty tired this morning, but yeah, there's a lot going on.
Cheesecake Factory? Huh?
You know, who knows? We've been talking about this thing for a long time here in this community. And maybe this is a gut check moment here for us people here in the Wichita, Sedgwick County area. We got to get our priorities in order. Cheesecake Factory over other opportunities. Let's bring White Castle back. That's kind of my thought process. Let's start a petition and bring the White Castle back to Wichita, back to its home roots. But, yeah, I saw that news, and let's see if this thing comes together.
Yeah, maybe Griff's. I like Griff's.
Yeah.
I'll sign that White Castle petition
Let's sign that. Let's go.
Bring him home. Bring him back to the roots.
Okay. All right. So what really is going on? What's happening with Sedgwick County Commission this week? Do you have an on-bank meeting today? Is that right?
We do.
Okay. Tell us about that.
It's tomorrow morning.
It's tomorrow morning. Okay.
Our on-bank. And what an on-bank is, basically, for those listeners that may not be familiar with that concept, it's a meeting between two elected bodies. So the Sedgwick County Commission and all five commissioners and our staff will go over to Wichita City Hall, and we will have a meeting with the mayor and city council and her staff, and we'll have topics of discussion that jointly impact both bodies of government. The two topics tomorrow, one is this corrections funding formula. I've been talking about it frequently, publicly. And the second is fire training, how Sedgwick County Fire and Wichita Fire can train more aptly and more efficiently together. Let me pause real quick and tell you a little bit about this corrections funding formula.
Sure.
In January of this year, we learned that the Kansas Department of Corrections was going to issue a new funding formula, and they issued their first draft. Now, I've been very critical publicly of what came of that first draft, because of the six advisory members and jurisdictions that were in there developing the new formula, Sedgwick County was left out of that equation. We were not involved in that process. And we have the biggest challenges here in the entire state. We are supervising about 1,100 felony offenders. These were presumptive prison or presumptive parole that we're supervising in the community. 300 of those 1,100 individuals aren't even from Sedgwick County. We get them from across the state that are sent here to supervise. So if we don't have adequate resources and supervision of these felony offenders, they will reoffend. And there will be more crime. Our community will be in more danger if we don't have the proper programming. Well, what we learned from that funding formula draft is that Sedgwick County was due to receive a 38% reduction in funding from the Kansas Department of Corrections. 38%. Meanwhile, those members and jurisdictions that were on the advisory committee were seeing significant increases, anywhere from 15 to 36%. Johnson County was seeing a 36% increase, and they wrote the formula. So obviously we cried foul, not just simply because we felt like there was some lack of transparency in the process, but what it will do for corrections programming here and public safety, it'll decimate some of these programs. So we've been working on this since January, and that'll be a topic of discussion, because obviously the district attorney, the sheriff, the Wichita police chief, the mayor and city council need to be very aware of how dangerous this situation is for public safety if we can't get Kansas Department of Corrections to reverse this formula.
You've been pretty, as you say, outspoken on that, but just, as a citizen, it just makes me angry.
Yeah.
It just makes me so annoyed with those people up there in T-Town.
Yeah, sure.
Wow.
I will tell you, I'm a fan of community corrections. I think the programming is good. We host it down here at Sedgwick County Corrections. And the reason why this is really important is those individuals that are going to prison, typically there's no programming in prison. You go and you do your time, and 97% of these individuals are going to come back to our community. So the theory behind community corrections, and this has been something we've been doing in Kansas since 1978, the theory is that we can rehab individuals in the community and give them treatment and give them even therapeutic evidence-based research will suggest that this is a better approach to make sure people are returning back to community and society rehabbed and ready to reengage and less reoffenses and less recidivism. So I'm a believer in the programming, but I'm only a believer in the programming if we have the proper resources. And this is a state program that they give to the local jurisdictions, Sedgwick County Corrections in particular, to administer. And we have a disproportionate burden to the entire state. We are supervising significantly more felony offenders than anyone else in the state. So to have a 38% reduction. Now, listen, the entire pot from the state of money, that's not changing. They're just reallocating things differently. And if we were just getting a haircut of 6%, 8%, even 10%, I think we'd figure out a way to absorb that. But that's not what's happening here. 38% reduction in federal funding, or I'm sorry, in state funding. It decimates our programming. Now, I will tell you, we're going to talk about this tomorrow with the city of Wichita, because they need to be aware, obviously, the public safety concerns. Secretary Zmuda, the Kansas Department of Corrections Secretary, and his staff came to visit yesterday with myself, Commissioner Pete Meister, and a few staff members. And we had a great meeting, a phenomenal meeting. I was very hopeful. It was a very productive meeting. We're asking them to freeze the allocation so that we can enlist a third party organization to do some evidence based research as to what this funding formula should look like, because they haven't really updated the formula since 1978. So things have changed. So we're asking them to freeze the formula. We had great reception. So hopefully we can make some progress. Our community needs it.
What was that other item you're going to talk about tomorrow? There was two.
Regional fire training. So right now, Sedgwick County Fire, fourth largest fire department in the state of Kansas, and Wichita Fire Department, the largest fire department in the state of Kansas, we co-respond together on 6,000 calls a year. So upwards of 15, 18 times a day, you'll pull to a scene, you'll see a Sedgwick County fire truck, and you'll see a Wichita fire truck. Now, I have opinions on how we can modernize this system and make it more efficient and more effective, and I think there's opportunities to functionally consolidate in some ways, but that's not the point of this conversation. The point of this conversation is we work hand-in-hand together so frequently that we should be training together more frequently. And how can we do this at the Regional Forensic Training Center? Are there ways that we can train more collaboratively? And we have some plans we're going to try to implement, and I'm pretty excited about them. But fire is a big deal. They do a lot. 70% of their calls are medical calls. So they do a lot for this community, and we want to make sure that we're training together and have the necessary resources to serve the public.
Ted, you got anything for us?
Oh, did you watch all 18 innings of Game 3 last night?
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, I had good intentions, and my body failed me. At some point between midnight and 12:30, my body just gave up. But I awoke this morning on the couch in the same position I fell asleep in, and to see that big game Freddie Freeman delivered in the 18th inning. What a story. And Shohei Ohtani and his performance, and the guy's going to start game 4 today. It's just saying, this is fun. This is a lot of fun. Both are great teams, great organizations. The Dodgers and the Blue Jays. So this is October baseball. I love it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good one, and we'll check with you next week. And next week we'll be talking about we'll be on election day next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Election day. Make a plan to vote. Get out and vote. We got 1 week to go.
There you go. Thank you, sir. That's Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. Is Wichita about to get a Cheesecake Factory? Kirk Seminoff, Wichita Business Journal, coming up. Steve's Head in the Morning here on KNSS. Steve's Head in the Morning, KNSS, 7:47 now here on this Tuesday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Monday Night Football, Chiefs 28, Washington Commanders 7.
2.
Kansas Senate President Ty Masterson thinks he has enough votes to force a special legislative session to redraw voting districts.
1.
Day 28 of the government shutdown. Workers missing paychecks. Political blame game continues. Three big things. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Very heavy traffic right now on the roadways. Slow southbound on I-135 going through the North Junction. We're starting to slow down eastbound on Kellogg, right around Hillside, so pretty close to I-135 there, and still very slow northbound on K-15, and that is south of I-135. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
Breezy with an 80% chance for rain today, then a high of 56 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, the overnight low 42. Wednesday, partly sunny and windy. Tomorrow's high, 52 degrees. Now light rain, fog, north wind at 9 miles per hour. 55 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. AI is the driving force behind a number of private schools across the country, getting national attention for their unique curriculum.
Fox on Tech.
The Alpha schools believe the traditional education system is failing, and it's time to change it. They're swapping out traditional teachers for artificial intelligence. The AI creates personalized lesson plans for each student depending on their needs. Students are taught by the AI for just 2 hours in the morning, and the rest of the day is all about learning life skills like critical thinking and public speaking through hands-on workshops. There are still humans in every classroom, but they're known as guides, and their job is just to motivate and give students support. There are more than a dozen Alpha schools across the country, including in Texas, New York, Miami, and San Francisco. Typical tuition ranges from $10,000 to $75,000. The founder believes this is the future of education, and public schools can adopt a similar model to make it more affordable for everyone. With Fox on Tech, Brooke Taylor, Fox News.
Wall Street begins the week on a positive note.
The major averages kicking off the new trading week higher and notching fresh record closes on optimism that the U.S. and China will strike a trade deal. Qualcomm stock jumped 12% after the company announced that it was launching a new artificial intelligence accelerator chip to rival NVIDIA. Gold prices falling to over $4,000 a troy ounce as investors moved away from the safe haven asset on prospects of a U.S.-China trade deal. The Dow winners, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Goldman Sachs. The Dow decliners, Amgen, Home Depot, and Walmart. The Dow rising 337 points, the Nasdaq higher by 433, S&P 500 up 83. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Is Wichita about to get a cheesecake factory? Time for the Wichita Business Journal update with editor Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. The answer appears to be yes. It's a story the Business Journal broke Monday morning. A Cheesecake Factory restaurant appears headed for Bradley Fair, according to a building permit filed with the Metropolitan Area Building and Construction Department. The permit is for $3 million at the address once occupied by Outback Steakhouse before it closed 3 years ago. The permit did not list a start date nor a completion date, and representatives of Bradley Fair and the Cheesecake Factory did not return requests for comment. But it looks like Wichita will finally have the grand quartet of Trader Joe's, Dave and Buster's, Top Golf, and Cheesecake Factory. What could be next? What else is there? There's also making major breaking C-suite news this morning. Former high-touch technology CEO Derek Nielsen, who left that company in June to join Envision as Chief Strategy and Revenue Officer, is now leaving Envision to become CEO of the Lang Companies. It's a change in strategy for Lang, which is switching up its leadership approach with the creation of its first chief executive officer role to oversee and guide its brands. Nielsen was a consultant for Lang when it was transitioning one of its companies from a box for you to what is now known as RedGuard. At Envision, CEO Michael Monteferrani said Nielsen's deep understanding of organizational growth and strategy made a meaningful contribution during his time at the nonprofit. And in other Lang-related news, Park City's City Council will consider more incentives tonight for the $500 million Champtown project. That's the mixed-use project involving Lang real estate along I-135 between 53rd and 61st Streets that plans to someday have a huge aquarium, sports, retail, hotel, and theaters. The council will vote on a development agreement for Champtown that details the project scope, requirements, financing, and milestones for construction and completion. The project will likely be built out over 7 years, with the aquarium opening by 2028 or 2029. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
Brought to you by Mr. Electric, lighting up the path to your success. I've been to Cheesecake Factory with my family, my grandkids, back twice. Once in the Kansas City suburb of Overland Park and the other in St. Louis. And they have very impressive chow, a lot of it, a lot of different menus. If you've ever seen the menu, it runs, what, Ted, about 10 pages.
It's like a Tale of Two Cities.
Space. Yeah.
About 400 or 500 pages.
Yeah. It's pretty complicated. But when you get to the bottom of it, you'll get some pretty good food. However, it's a little pricey for me. Kirk, what do you think?
I've been to the one in OKC, and I believe the one in Overland Park as well. And just getting through the menu is enough of a task, and you feel like you've accomplished something. And then completing the meal is another task in itself.
Yeah. So if you have a really young kid, you say, bring us a cheeseburger. Right? Kids don't have time to read all that. Most of them can't read anyway. So, yeah. Anyway, it's an exciting time. As you said, it's taking a long time. Cheesecake Factory's been around for, what, about 50 years or so? We finally got one, so there you go. Maybe. I mean, you, what you're reporting is great reporting by you guys, but it looks like it's the application's there. Now we got to approve it and get her going, huh?
That site is ready to go. I've driven by it hundreds of times, and it's flattened out and ready for ready to be occupied.
That's nice looking grass there right now.
So as usual, we get something about 15 or 20 years after everybody else does.
It's all right. We're coming a little late to the game. Hey, today is National Chocolate Day. Thanks you, Ted. So this is for Ted. A special tribute to mankind's greatest culinary invention. And your favorite chocolate confection, Ted, would be what?
Oh, how can I even begin to choose?
Reese's. Oh. Reese's?
Yeah, hard to beat that. What about a French silk pie?
What about
a nice double-layer chocolate cake frosting?
Are you listening to this, Kirk? Have you got any favorite chocolates?
I can't get past a really good chocolate chip cookie. Hint, hint, St. Shelley.
All right.
Yeah, those are legendary.
Good luck on that. It's chocolate day, so there you go.
What about you?
Oh, I like Hershey bars and a chocolate cake. My mom used to make an outstanding chocolate cake, just a little box cake, very simple. Man, was it tasty.
Very tasty.
Wow.
Yep.
All right.
And made with love.
That's right. Celebrating National Chocolate Day. All right, Kirk, we'll check with you an hour from now here with Steve and Ted on KNSS. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, stay with Steve and Ted. We'll tell you about day 28 of the government shutdown, and it looks like food is becoming an issue. Ted has sports on the way, right, Ted?
Yeah, Monday Night Football last night, the Kansas City Chiefs. We have highlights and reaction to last night's game up at Arrowhead coming up to sports.
Plus entertainment news. We have the blur coming up.
Yeah, we'll get you all your entertainment news that you need coming up at 8:35 this morning.
And traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.